The hailing frequencies are open, everybody, because this is GHL Extra, and I am Jason Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson, but you already knew that because you are beautiful, sexy people who support us here on Patreon. And today, we have a beautiful, sexy guest who might be our first guest who's tinier than I am. Welcome back, Danielle!
Hi!
Thanks for agreeing to let us bully you into talking more about James Bond. On our main episode, we didn't ask our stick around question.
Just ask it now.
I want to ask now because this is why I come to talk about James Bond. So first answer, best answer. We touched on it a little bit in the main podcast. Danielle, who is the handsomest James Bond?
Oh, Timothy Dalton. Hands down. Hands down.
Jason, who is the handsomest James Bond?
This is a tough question. I think it is. I think it is Timothy Dalton. I really do. Yeah, I think Danielle's right.
That's good.
I think it's probably objectively Dalton or Connery.
Mm-hmm.
But I love Daniel Craig because he looks like he could kill someone with his bare hands. And that's what I want from a James Bond.
I know. I've never thought great. Daniel Craig was good looking. I like him as an actor, but I just don't think he's good
looking.
He looks
like an English bulldog, but I can't tell you why he's attractive.
All right.
Yeah. But he's attractive.
Fair enough.
I agree.
To be fair, though, and I wanted to ask this question because it's usually like, who's the best Bond girl? Which we have fully had that discussion. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to ask this because also James Bond is a franchise where we're spoiled with everyone is good looking. Mm-hmm. There's no, we've never had a real Uggo play James Bond. More Uggo representation in this franchise. But back to serious, important matters. Jason pulled a lovely list that we're going to talk through.
Well, we're not going to talk through the list. Oh. I just brought the list up for consultation.
Oh, well, never mind that.
But I
ruin the segue.
I want to ask everybody what are our favorite James Bond moments that, of course, made us love this franchise.
Ooh, okay.
Give us a little character music for this.
All right, so we're never releasing this one on the main feed.
Nope. Give us a little James Bondian music in here. Danielle, if you had to pick some of your favorite Bond movies or Bond moments, scenes or lines or one-liners, what stands out to you? And again, we're not asking for like best or top five, just like what comes to mind?
The first thing that comes to my mind is Natalia jumping in the air and punching Boris as she comes down in GoldenEye. I don't know
Sonya
what it
on the
is.
Top.
Yeah, well, I just love how like Natalia is so like scared and timid at the beginning, and then she really comes into her own in that movie. And
oh, I got them mixed up. I apologize. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the image of her just jumping up and punching Alan Cummings is so good. That's a favorite moment. I love in From Russia with Love, the entire sequence where Red Grant is in the same location as Bond, because I love him stalking Bond from the train. He's on the train and Bond is in the station and he's kind of walking and Red Grant's kind of like stalking him and it's really cool. And then, their whole conversation in the train car is good. And then their whole fight in the train car is also really good. So I love that. And then I would say if there's one that I just love is the safe house infiltration from The Living Daylights. I don't know if you remember that henchman. I can't remember his name, but he's a blonde German guy.
Yes.
And he just like infiltrates this safe house. He pretends to be a milkman and then he's taking down agent after agent after agent. And it's just a really cool sequence. It's one of my favorite sequences from the franchise. And then maybe Daniel Craig running set to Judi Dench reading, Alfred Lord Tennyson in Skyfall. Love that moment.
Ashley, how about you for you?
I really love in Goldfinger when Honor Blackman is at the airfield, I suppose. It's not an airport. It's not large enough to be an airport.
No, it's an airfield, yeah.
And it's just her and the other ladies.
Oh, her flying circus?
Yeah, and like she's in charge. And it has very little to do with anything in the plot. But I think it tells you so much about who she is and why she deserves to catch Bond's eyes. Because a lot of the Bond girls aren't super capable and they're literally just there as objects. And I think that she is one of the most iconic Bond girls for, like, she's good at everything she does. She is a boss bitch and you see it from that scene forward. So that always stands out to me. It's also one of the first Bond movies I ever saw when I was young, and I thought she looked like a beautiful Barbie doll. So like the image of her in the airfield just like stands in my mind in such sharp relief. I love Bloody Big Ship when they're at the portrait gallery. Jason and I went to that portrait gallery and we made some Swedish tourists take a picture of us in front of it, and they were unpleased to help us, but they definitely did. They probably thought we were like really mean Americans. And then in License to Kill, I love the sequence where Bond is escaping from the big house in Florida. And he's just like Timothy Dalton, because it's like pre-stuntmen and like pre-protection codes, just falling through all of these beautiful like birds of paradise flowers and these poor Monstera. Like, I love...
It's a beautiful house in that sequence, too. You're talking about the one that M is on?
Yes, it's a beautiful building. He kills all this foliage, and I love that whole sequence. Like, I've never been to Florida. I have no feelings about Florida, except it's a great punchline. But I love his whole chase, like, through whatever town they're supposed to be in Florida.
I think Miami.
I don't know.
Orlando. They're in, like, Miami, Orlando.
That's a great part.
And it's, I know it's like a, I know The Living Daylights is like objectively the better movie, but License to Kill, I love an angry Bond, so it's pretty, pretty much my jam. Jason, what are some of your favorite moments?
I mean, to me, the pinnacle moment of the Bond franchise for me.
Man talk. Jason's like, this is where I reveal my truth.
I
mean, every time he slaps a woman, I'm nobody clip that out. For me, the pinnacle moment that I think the moment I became a Bond fan was I saw the moment in Goldfinger where Goldfinger straps him to the table.
Yes.
Sends the laser up towards his junk. And Sean Connery just goes, "Do you expect me to talk, Goldfinger?" And he goes, "No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die." You know, and I'm like, you cannot talk. And then, like, the fact that Bond gets out of it by being like, Operation Glanslam.
You know,
and he's like, oh, he must know something. I think to me, like, that is like a great Bond moment that stands out to me, because he wins with his mind, which I think is something very strong about Bond, is that he wins with his mind more than his fist. Like, there's a lot of Bond movies, especially where Bond is not a good fist fighter. Like, that's something like, there's a lot of Roger Moore and Pierce Brosnan movies where he gets like his ass just handed to him. and then you can tell, like, in the Daniel Craig movies, they were like, no, he is the best hand to hand fighter ever, and he will beat everybody.
Also, he's the size of a fridge.
Yeah.
I mean, the scene you're talking about is so iconic. The Simpsons parodies it in the Scorpio episode.
Yes. I think that's a great moment. I mean, to be honest with you, my favorite moment of Spectre is the opening Day of the Dead sequence. Where you see, like, Bond and the camera tracking through him.
You tell our listeners, and maybe Danielle, but I'm assuming she already knows this, how that scene was originally supposed to be filmed.
Oh, so Danielle, I don't know if you know this. They reveal this on Apple has this documentary about Bond that's called, I think, Bond and Everything, and it's about the Daniel Craig tenure. It's basically an overglorified podcast where they sat Barbara Broccoli, Michael Wilson, and James Bond behind mics.
And James Bond?
And James Bond, yes. James Bond, he's a real person.
The real guy.
Daniel Craig. They sat them behind mics, and they just cut clips of the Bond film over their talking. And Daniel Craig says... He talks about that he broke his ankle very early into the filming of Spectre, like within the first 2 weeks. And their two options were shut the whole movie down for 9 months, or he had to just grin and bear it and like wear a brace. And so he grinned and bared it and wore a brace. And he says in it that he's like, that's the reason in all the interviews I kept saying that I wanted to kill myself, because he's like, I didn't have fun with Spectre at all. He's like, I hated it. And one of the sequences they filmed with his broken leg was the opening sequence through Mexico. And originally it was Bond sprinting everywhere. It was him sprinting across the rooftops. It was him sprinting after the guy through the crowds until they get to the helicopter. But he obviously couldn't run. And if you notice as well, when you first meet Bond, when he's in the suit, He has a cane. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why he has a cane.
I wanted you to, yeah. I'm going to let you finish your list. But I wanted you to tell that story specifically because I think that really clearly illustrates what Daniel was talking about in the main episode where like, he doesn't have to run in that scene because he is the coolest man in the world
yeah.
and will get the guy
eventually. Yeah, it makes it more of a shadow chase mm-hmm. where he's like following mm-hmm. the guy. Another moment is we have to go to the classic, the first emergence of a Bond girl, Honey Rider coming out of the ocean in Dr. No.
Mm-hmm. In that iconic, she popularized the bikini.
Yep, in the bikini, the bungee jump in GoldenEye, I mm-hmm. think is amazing. And you want to talk about like Bond being tied to the time it's made? Like that would have only happened in the 90s. Yeah. Like the Bond producers were like, this bungee jumpy thing's big.
They were like, well, we can't make him skateboard. What else from the X Games can we lift?
Yeah,
skateboard.
Can you imagine?
I would love to see it, actually.
I mean, one of my actually favorite moments is in the Living Daylights is where they do that stunt where Bond climbs up the cargo netting into the plane.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah. Which, by the way, that was in Afghanistan, by the way.
Boot.
Just want to let everybody know. That was
oh, yeah. He was working yeah. with
the Taliban. Yeah. Yep. That, yes, he was.
Oh, yes.
Yep. They were the Taliban.
I remember you pointing that out, in fact.
I love that movie up to a certain point.
Yes. Yes.
Not that it becomes bad at a certain point. It just kind of drags at a certain point. But yeah, that's a great stunt.
Speaking of points, there's the amazing scene where Sean Connery kills a dude with a spear gun in Thunderball.
Yeah. You don't even like Thunderball.
I like that scene because
all the parts of it that are underwater are like pretty good.
You know, you got to give the Roger Moore, the man with the golden gun, the car that does the twist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is great. But you want to know what is like such a goofy Bond moment, but I love it. It's so dumb, but I love it. Mm. Also in Thunderball. The beginning of Thunderball is he goes to a funeral mm-hmm. and he's like looking for a Spectre agent. He's at the funeral of the Spectre agent. Bond follows the wife back to her house mm-hmm. and he realizes that the wife is actually the Spectre agent who's pretending to be his wife. Mm-hmm. So he has a fist fight with a guy in full drag.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, and it is.
Yep.
And it's a man and it is not a little man.
No. Nope.
It is a big, yes.
Wearing a very like goofy. Psycho, and it gets even goofier because he beats the, I think he kills the guy. I'm not certain if he kills the guy or just beats him up. And then he runs out into the roof and then gets at his jetpack.
Yeah.
for what, 7 seconds?
Yeah, he uses the jetpack to go one block down the street to his car. And then he spends like 5 minutes putting the jetpack in the trunk.
It's pretty goofy.
But I love it. Do either of you have like any, to finish us off, like any just like super goofy Bond moments that you love, but you know they're like really silly?
I think there's a part in A View to a Kill.
Yes.
Personal favorite trash Bond movie of mine. It's so dumb. But the I think there's a part in there where Bond is like driving a boat and it like goes on land or something, mm-hmm. and there's like a man drinking wine who does a double take and then puts his wine down. Like, oh, I've had too much wine if I see a man driving on land. It's very stupid.
Oh, doesn't that guy come back?
Yes.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
There's like two scenes with that guy doing the like, oh, gotta cut back on the drinking.
All right, Danielle, I have to ask you this. As a Roger Moore, James Bond fan, do you like J.W., the sheriff from Louisiana?
No.
That is the correct answer.
That is the correct answer.
No.
J.W.
What a terrible character.
Yes. Yes.
Terrible. Not funny.
Yeah.
Not funny at all. Not helpful.
It is so indicative to me of what English people at the time thought Americans were like.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so funny. As I will say that, like, Bond supporting characters, I think Felix Leiter is the best version of this. There's another character. It's whoever, who's the gentleman that plays Hagrid?
Oh, Robbie Coltrane.
Character.
Yeah, my brain said Rufus Wainwright, which is so wrong.
Rufus Wainwright. I'd love that.
Canadian icon.
No, there's a whole... I can't tell if this is like an actual thing in the Bond fandom or if it was something that was kind of coined on the James Bonding podcast, but they often talk about the role of the mentor character because you have like Karen Bay in From Russia with Love.
Yes,
you've got Robbie Coltrane.
Robbie Coltrane shows up twice, right?
Yeah, he's in The World's Not Enough and GoldenEye.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, if you don't have a Felix or something like that, you've got a mentor or an ally, somebody who's on the ground in whatever country he's visiting, kind of helping him out. And that is such a great opportunity for some of these really cool characters to emerge, I guess.
Yeah. Ashley, what's your super goofy James Bond moment that you love?
I love and I still laugh all these years later every single time when Bond and Vesper are in the car going to the hotel and he's reading her secret identity. And he's like, oh, you're Miss Stephanie Broadchester. And she goes, I am not. He goes, oh, I assure you, you are. Which is why I say that to this day. And it's like, it's his delivery. And it's one of those scenes where it's two human people having fun. Mm-hmm. It's not two actors playing a joke. Like you can tell Daniel Craig is actually laughing as he says that to her. So that always stands out to me. The first reveal of Blofeld and the cat, like that.
And You Only Live Twice.
That cat is an icon.
Yep. Yep.
I'm obsessed. Every time we watch a scene with one of those cats, Jason says that cat is dead and it upsets me.
It was the 60s.
But it is, to me, like that's quintessential Bond silliness and again has gone on to be parodied ad nauseum like so many times. And then lastly, it's a silly moment, but I also think it's really beautiful, is when we say goodbye to the OG Q. He just
I was going to mention this.
Yep.
I cried when we watched it.
Yeah. Desmond Lewin, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, no, his goodbye is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's probably one of the best and most respectful things of the Brosnan era. Like, it's such a lovely farewell to that version of the character. And then they were like, here, have R.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, just like bring R back. I think we should see more of the lettered
that
characters.
That was John Cleese.
Yeah. I mean, you could recast them. But.
Yes, I think the problem with Bond is you can't be too well known.
Outside of
Bond, like you stand out like a sore thumb. Now they've broke that up recently, like in the more recent years, like by having like Christoph Waltz and Rami Malek, definitely. But I think that was the problem, is that to England, like you see John Cleese, you don't see Q.
Right,
yeah.
You see the Pink Panther.
Yes,
in a lot of ways. Yeah.
Finally, I want to throw out one last final shout out for a great Bond moment, and it's only because one, it's funny because these are real people. And two, they don't do a great job in about half the shots. In Goldfinger, when Miss Galore and her flying circus are flying over Fort Knox and they're using the sleep gas, those are the only shots that are actually Fort Knox. And they asked, those are all real U.S. Army soldiers that are falling down.
What?
And a bunch of them die.
No, but if you watch in Goldfinger, in certain shots, they fall at because they were all they how they did it is they were like fall and they all fall and they all fall at different times. But there are certain times where you can tell that they only told like the first two blocks that they were doing this. And then you can see
they just couldn't hear them.
Or they couldn't hear them. Yeah. So the first two blocks like fall down. And then in the background, you can still see lots of people walking around. But no, they asked the soldiers to actually film the cameos in those movies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You think they paid them?
No.
Rude.
No, I don't think they did.
This is why Yahtzee's striking.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, Danielle, thank you so much for being on our extra Patreon episode.
Yeah.
This has been one of my favorite Bond moments, you just being here. So
thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Please tell our listeners again about your podcast so they go check it out and where they can find you online. Any projects you got coming out in the future?
Yeah, I am the co-host of the Anglophiles podcast, Files with an F. We review British TV shows and movies. So we are about to do a Bond episode, actually.
A specific Bond? Never Say Never Again?
Yeah, probably not. but although Rowan Atkinson is in that And we actually just covered Johnny English.
Oh, that's awesome.
Clearly a Bond parody. Yep, and quick little like insert, if I may.
Please.
Also, Johnny English, we recently discovered, was written by Purvis and Wade, who wrote Die Another Day, Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, Spectre, I believe, and the new one. So,
yeah.
It makes me love Johnny English more knowing that they're like, let's just go way goofy. But yes, we talk about that, on our podcast. Yeah, that's, where you should find me.
Awesome. Everybody, please go check out that Johnny English. Go check out Danielle's podcast. And Danielle, thank you so much for being a little bit extra with us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Everyone out there, thank you so much for supporting our Patreon. And thank you so much for listening. You guys are the reason we do these extra podcasts. Stay safe. Stay suave. Stay Bond. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Bye-bye, super friends.
Bye.